Welcome to The Point. I'm Indy Todd. Today, we talk about escaping reality through movies. While it is true you can also escape into a good book, today we're going to focus on films. With us, film critic Tim Miller, psychiatrist Mark Whaley, and social worker Jenny Putnam. Good morning.
Good morning, Indy.
Good morning.
So let's start before we get into some of the films that make a great escape. This is good for mental health, and we're not the first generation to be escaping realities, right? So, Mark, tell us a little bit about why this is good for us.
Well, it's good. First of all, we are not the first generation. And if you look through the history of humanity, it's always been part of trying to cope with being alive and the threats to being alive. And the ancient civilizations relied on ritual and superstition. So when bad things happen, floods, storms, et cetera, that just devastated things, and volcanoes going off, all sorts. It was a dangerous world those days. At any rate, they interpreted it with in a religious framework, that the gods were mad at our sinning, and this is what we have as a result. So then in the Middle Ages, there was the Black Death, the plague. And that, of course, was also seen as divine punishment for sin. That was the way of making sense of it. And then going on, there was the Enlightenment time, which is 17th and 18th century, and then rationality started coming in, and science started to tell us that the world operated from on a rational basis according to laws. So that explained things, and then of course we have this last century where the horrible wars happened, 1 and 2, and disasters too, the emphasis with the wars, at least in this country, was sacrifice for the greater good. So that was a way of organizing your thinking as giving meaning to this horror. Today in this country, we have a lot of uncertainty. The government is changing radically, and it's uncertain, and some of it is very cruel.
I think you said that's the key word there, though, right? Uncertainty, because uncertainty can create all kinds of, like, fear, and, you know, nobody likes to be uncertain. Go ahead, Jenny, what are you going to say about that?
I think also when we have all that uncertainty and fear, our nervous systems get activated and we become very focused on those scary things, and it's hard to get away from it. And so movies that feel good and are happy can calm our nervous systems down and move us out of that fight or flight mode so that we can think better and face those kinds of situations in a more rational manner.
Yeah. I thought we'd start in the 1930s, Tim, because during the Great Depression and World War II, movies, particularly musicals, were very popular as a means to escape the grim realities of the day. And there was I did not realize Westerns were also pretty popular in the 1930s.
Yeah, Westerns, certainly. Stagecoach and a lot of them, but also Fred and Ginger movies, Top Hat 1935. About half of the U.S. population went to movies during the Depression.
Yeah,
to see movies like Top Hat is purposely fake. They're supposed to be in Venice, but it's clearly a movie set.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
Right.
And so it was so these frothy screwball musicals.
But that's one of your favorites, Tom.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
And kids, I show it to my college class, and a lot of the students like it too.
Yeah, let's hear a little bit of that.
Heaven, I'm in heaven. And my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. And I seem to find the happiness I seek. When with out together dancing cheek to cheek.
Can't we just feel our blood pressure going down right now? Just listening to a little bit of, I have to tell you, my grandson was here yesterday when I was pulling some of these clips, and he heard that. He went, "Hey, that's the song from Boss Baby."
That's great.
But yeah, there was so many great movies in the 1930s. And yeah, and not only were the movies great, but a lot of the movie theaters, they were grand, right? Yeah. So this was and it was inexpensive.
Right. Yeah. Oh, well, that's the other thing. You know, what was it, like a quarter?
Yeah, 25 cents.
And you would see a double feature, a newsreel, which might not be stress reduction, but a cartoon. I mean, you got so much for your quarter.
Right. What are some other classics from the 1930s? I think when I think 1930s, I think of, you know, Gone with the Wind, Wizard of Oz. Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind came out the same year, 1939, right?
Same director.
Oh, same director.
Victor Fleming.
What?
Yeah. And it's interesting because I always thought that the first time, you know, Dan was used was in The Wizard of Oz, but it was actually in Gone with the Wind. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Oh,
but
right.
I always thought that Elvira Gulch, when she goes in and she's trying to take Toto, I thought she said, I'll bring a damn suit against you that will take away your farm. She says damage suit, but I always thought she said damn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Definitely the Rhett Butler line was the...
And those are still... I would say now I've seen Wizard of Oz so many times, it is no longer my go-to, but how can you not feel happy listening to the music of The Wizard of Oz?
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Brings back memories, doesn't it? All right, I'm sure we all, that had to be our go-to movie at one point, right, Mark, Jenny?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I took it seriously, my family did, personally. The first boat I had on the Cape was named Emerald City.
Oh, wow.
And the dinghy that I took to get to the mooring to the boat was called Yellow Brick Road.
Jenny,
you know,
one of yours too?
I have to say, The Witch terrified me.
Yeah.
Terrified me.
My sister
and
was the
so
same.
For me, that was my first horror movie.
And she was from the Cape.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Yeah, Margaret Sullivan. She had
Hamilton,
a home.
Hamilton.
What did I say?
Sullivan, yeah.
Hamilton, yeah.
Yeah, and I think one of the great things about The Wizard of Oz was the fact that it's black and white. Until she lands in Munchkin Land,
right.
And then it's like that was like magic. I mean, for young people now who grew up with color TV, they don't understand what a moment that was.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So, and for shows like that, you know, those grand musicals and stuff, those would be really tough to produce today.
The other thing about the theme of the movies back then was the good guy always wins. And so you could walk out of the theater with the satisfaction that the good guy won.
Yeah.
I don't think there, maybe, Tim, if you know, maybe there's some studies of movies, how many movies actually had a bad guy winning?
Not back in that time, I wouldn't think.
I think there's a sort of naivete to those movies that I think people like George Clooney have tried to recapture in some movies, but it's not, it feels corny now. Whereas at the time it felt Like when you rewatch those movies, it feels like it really, maybe that's how it really was. Maybe we all really felt that kind of hope. Maybe we all really believed in something
Yeah,
in that way.
it feels like you're being brought back to that time. Of course, we weren't alive in the 1930s, but that's what it maybe we thought it would feel like, right?
Well, and then as far as the 40s, which I think you were talking about before, but you had maybe there wasn't, like, say the end of Casablanca, the good guy wins, but there's still the battle to be fought, but there's hope.
Hope. Yeah. Oh, there you go.
You know, and or say Best Years of Our Lives, where, okay, dealing with the cost of war, but again, there's a certain camaraderie and sense of community that it's like, okay, you know, we're suffering, the after effects of war, but we're in this together, and we can get through this together. And that's so that's something to be considered, I guess, too, in terms of where movies can be helpful. Not necessarily saying everything, this naive, everything always works, life is fair and all that, but how do we deal with this? Well, we can't, we can still fight the good fight. So I think some of those movies are beloved for a different reason.
You made me think of White Christmas with Bing Crosby. We watch that every year. That's my favorite Christmas movie. And I mean, that's sort of the theme of that too, right? The hope and of course the I can't remember the general's name there who has to retire, and it's like the getting older kind of woes. And
Dean Jagger, the actor. I don't know the character's name.
But again, yeah, it's clearly a movie set again, but for some reason it does make you feel like you're being brought back to that time and that place. But I think you made up a good point, hope. I think watching some of the, especially these older classics, we do get that feeling of hope, which is something that is very helpful now, right? To be able to find some hope in somewhere. And we would love, we're going to talk about what our go-to movies are, each of us. And we'd love to hear from you. What is your go-to movie when you're feeling like you need a little escape? 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org, and we'll find out what that is after a break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about escaping reality through movies this morning with film critic Tim Miller, psychiatrist Mark Whaley, and social worker Jenny Putnam. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. What's your go-to movie? Jenny, what do you, when you're feeling like you need a little boost, what do you go to? What's your movie?
You know, you talked about hope, and if this is going to sound like the opposite of that, but I always go to disaster movies, but specifically the ones where people survive, because I think they're really about survival, not about disaster. And so I was thinking some of them are like Hunger Games, The Day After Tomorrow, which because of Jake Gyllenhaal, who saves the day, in the movie sense, 12 Monkeys. And then there's one from the 90s called Tank Girl.
Oh,
Oh
no,
my
I don't know
gosh.
that one.
Tim, you know Tank Girl?
Yeah. Oh my God. Lori Petty.
Lori Petty. It's so weird.
It is weird.
It's so weird. I loved it.
That's
It's a
great.
funny.
young
And
woman.
because also you lose technology in these disaster movies, you were
Yes,
saying,
right.
right?
So I think another piece of them is that in all of these movies, people have to go back to living sort of more naturally by their wits and talents, and there's no technology in disaster movies. And I think that also is appealing. Usually, not in all of those ones I mentioned, but usually technology goes out the window.
All right, what about for you, Mark?
Well, when I think about this, I think of Forrest Gump. And I just love the scene of, a simple man who's at every important event of the century, has some wisdom to depart. Even When he comments, basically says nothing, but it's wise. And of course, Tom Hanks, a wonderful actor, obviously. And I think that was one of his, probably one of his best roles at that point. And also the beauty of somebody who was disabled in a way, on the autistic spectrum or whatever, but had an awful lot to contribute and be admired for.
Definitely inspiring. All right, Tim, what's yours?
Well, my favorite movie is Almost Famous, and it my short answer, and I never give a short answer for anything, but my short answer why is it makes me feel good to be alive. And it's about 1970s rock music, and it's about writing, and it's a it's about a lot of the things that I really love, and it's about community and finding family outside your family, in addition to your family. So I also share what I think your
I was
favorite
going to say,
is.
speaking of finding community and family outside of your family, mine is Guardians of the Galaxy. I love that series. And for folks who aren't familiar, you have to see it. It's fabulous. So it's this guy, Peter, who is abducted by aliens as a like 7 or 8 year old boy, and he's listening to the Walkman of his mom's mix of music from the 70s and 80s, and she has just died from cancer. But he's a kidnapped by bounty hunters, so he learns to be this, bounty hunter, and he steals this orb that has a lot more power than he realizes, and he's sort of forced into this sort of truce with a bunch of misfits. There's the gun-toting rocket raccoon, the tree-like humanoid Groot. There's a Gamora, and then of course the vengeance-driven Drax the Destroyer. This is a series of three movies, and I just Kevin Bacon, even though he's not in the movie, he plays a big role because all of these aliens think of Kevin Bacon, the hero who saves the day, because Peter's always talking about the movie Footloose, right? So there's just so many funny lines in there, and they're out to save the universe, and it's I just love that series. It's
Yeah,
great.
it's great.
And I would say, for anybody, and you can watch that with older kids, but for younger kids, I'm telling you that my favorite Disney movie, Moana, got and the music, everything about Moana, Jenny, is
Wonderful
a
movie.
fabulous movie. And the other one, I would say, Secret Life of Pets and the sequel. You will laugh so hard you'll cry. They're both
I gotta
great.
throw Mulan in there as well if you're gonna talk kids movies.
Mulan is good.
Mulan.
Not as good as Moana, but it's good.
Oh, I think it's better, but that we can agree to
Yeah, we can
disagree.
agree to disagree, absolutely. We have Lizzie giving us a call from Nantucket. Hi, Lizzie.
Hi. I
Hi.
just had one real retro idea. We watched Yankee Doodle Dandy every 4th of July my whole life. And I just think it's retro, and but it's hopeful. And I don't know, we've always loved it. So anyway, that's all. I just hope there are no awful political undertones in that movie that I missed. But
Lizzie, thanks for sharing that. I'm not Tim. You know every movie. You know that one?
Oh yeah,
I
Yankee
don't think
Doodle
I've
Dandy,
seen
James
that.
Cagney, and he had played mostly gangsters, but here he a lot of people didn't realize he was a song and dance man too, and he's amazing, and I think he might have won an Oscar for that. I'm not positive, but Michael Curtiz directed it, who also directed Casablanca. I mean, it's about George M. Cohan, and it's
And
really good.
Dan just told me in my ear, Jimmy Cagney used to spend time on the Cape. I think everybody spent time
Oh
on
yeah, well, he had a
the
house, I think, on the vineyard.
Oh, and those song and dance guys from like the 30s, 40s, 50s. Oh, you can't, you cannot beat them. I should, another one of my go-tos is Singing in the Rain. I would watch any Gene Kelly movie. Gene Kelly, I know you talk about Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, but can anybody really hold a candle to Gene Kelly?
Fred Astaire.
No.
I
All right,
would take
again, we're going to have to agree to disagree
take Fred
because,
over Gene Kelly any day,
and
but
the
I'm
thing,
with you, Tim.
yeah.
And who's the other guy in Singing in the Rain, who I love, who does the
Donald O'Connor.
Donald O'Connor, yeah. Where he does the flip up the wall and does the somersault thing. And do you know, in the scene, Singing in the Rain, Gene Kelly had a fever of 103 when he filmed that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But he still sounded happy.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone.
I'm betting you that he did not sing that when he had the 103 fever.
You know, have you, Mindy, have you, and I'm sure Tim has, seen Seven Brides for Seven Brothers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Dancing in that is fabulous, too.
Oh. Yeah.
I know. I love the dancing in all of those films. All right. Fran is giving us a call from Orleans. Hi, Fran.
Hi, how's it going?
Great. What's your go-to?
Well, as an affirmed Star Trek fan from way back.
Oh, Dan is giving you the thumbs up right now. Yeah.
Me too. Thumbs
my
up for me.
My favorite movie is Galaxy Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
I have seen that movie. I saw it actually when it first came out in the movie theater 6 times.
Wow.
Tim Allen does an amazing
semi-William
Shatner, and Alan Rickman is just brilliant.
Yeah.
Alan Rickman, brilliant. Sigourney Weaver, Sam Rockwell, all these people who probably couldn't afford to get in the movie. Well, Alan Rickman's gone now, but it's a brilliant parody movie, and it's so much fun.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Fran, that's a good one.
I that movie 10 times. And
that
I think
and it gave us the character Guy Fleegman.
Oh, yes.
Fran, thanks for that reminder. Yeah. All right. That's good. We'd love to know what your go-to movie is. 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Mark, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a little bit of, we're talking a lot about nostalgia here, right? And I think that nostalgic content kind of came in the 2000s, but there's something about us wanting to relive our childhood, young adulthood. What is going on there?
Yeah, that's very important. When I noticed this, doing some reading for this show, I was really struck by it because it really woke up what I learned in child development and in early on as a psychiatrist. When a child is stressed, he regresses. To previous stages of development. So that if he, for instance, if they were potty trained, if the kid was potty trained and there was some stress, they lose that skill and have to kind of relearn it. It's regression back to something that is safer and familiar and not so much unknown. And that's really what our psychology development is based on. Withdraw and regress to childlike ways of thinking and behaving. It's one of the, I don't think this is held up, but it's one of the theories about depression, that a depression is a healing experience because it takes you back to old ways of behaving and experiencing the world, and you withdraw from it. Mm-hmm. There is that pattern, and the movies, a lot of them that we talk about, like the the good guy always winning, or their hope in the end or throughout is encouraged and nurtured, is the same thing as childhood, where things were basically predictable in general, unless you're in a traumatic, horrible situation. Basically predictable, safe, and people are looking out for you. Mm-hmm. At least that's the way it used to be in the years that I grew up.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to return to that, right?
Absolutely.
It's almost like comfort food, right? With comfort food, we have these nostalgic memories.
Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So we had talked about, like, I think up to about the 1950s, 40s and 50s musicals, comedies. And then the 70s and 80s, we sort of moved into fantasy and science fiction, superheroes. 70s is when the whole Star Wars thing. And if you had asked me maybe 15, 20 years ago, my go-to would have been Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I think it changes over time.
I'm showing Star Wars to, I'm teaching a class at Mass Maritime right now for 14-year-olds.
Oh, wow.
And it's a film class. And I started showing Star Wars, which, by the way, is the subtitle, A New Hope.
Right. I forgot
and,
about that.
And yeah. Let's see if this sounds at all familiar. It's about an evil empire and the heroes are the resistance to the evil empire. And there's these masked stormtroopers.
Oh my God.
I don't want to comment on what that could be, but, you know, anyway,
yeah.
You know, you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So Star Wars, certainly, you know,
yeah.
And what's interesting is because they also, you know, we have these series now, so they don't all end on a happy note. I mean, you have Star Wars, and then you have The Empire Strikes Back, which is a very dark film.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's my favorite.
It is. You like those dark films.
Yeah. But you know, but it's sort of back and forth. They don't all end happily.
Yeah. And it is that the force, right? It's that
yeah.
pull between good and evil.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and which fighting
way,
the good
and
fight.
Which way you're going to go?
Even in the ones that don't end well, except for that one where everybody dies,
uh-huh.
which
oh, right,
I
right.
also loved, by the way.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
a fantastic
oh.
film. you always have people at your back.
Yes.
I mean, I think that this, you know, epidemic of loneliness that
yeah.
we're
yeah.
kind of living through in these movies, there's always a community. And, you know, to go back to Guardians of the Galaxy, people fight, but they stick together.
Yeah.
They don't have similar ideas, but they stick together and have each other's backs. I think this is a very reassuring idea for most of us.
Yeah, yeah. A very common theme. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then the whole, you know, superheroes, you know, we had Superman, but now it's like we've got all the Marvel. They're all like they have their separate movies, but they all come together in some
yeah.
movies, and there's a whole following for that. The superhero.
Although
films.
It's funny, I don't know if you've seen the new Superman.
No, I have not.
But that's incredibly political. I mean, it's
it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's again, you have masked henchmen,
mm-hmm.
sort of anonymous masked henchmen. Mm. You have, you know, well, I mean, it's very political and blatantly. So it's even those escapist, what are traditionally sort of considered escapist movies, they're having a hard time avoiding the headlines too.
Tim, I think they're partially escapist, at least for me, because it's very black and white, right? The bad guys are just bad guys.
Yeah.
They're just clearly evil bad guys. And
yeah.
you don't have to sit and try and figure out how to find a shared humanity with them.
Yeah.
They're just bad guys. And
yeah.
so we can destroy them and it's okay. And there's no consequences to
right.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we forgot to mention when we were talking about the 1930s, the Universal monster films that came out that are still fun today.
Oh,
and
they're
that's
great.
You know, like Frankenstein, The Mummy, Dracula, which of course made Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi big stars. But I think I do not like horror films, but I love these.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they're so campy.
Yeah. They're more monster movies than they're not like
yeah.
slasher films.
No.
And it's not like, I think with like, say, Psycho, where, okay, that's incredibly scary because
yeah.
it could happen.
Yeah.
You know,
right. Yeah. We're not going to see Dracula or the Mummy walking
right.
around. Yeah.
Right. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah. Oh, hope not. Yeah. So then we had the 2000s, 2010s. I mentioned more nostalgia driven content, which is interesting because it's not just movies. It was also, we see it in advertising and TV shows. It's like, you know, the jingles. And I have this debate with my grandson all the time when I'll say, no, that song was actually first done by, you know, or a commercial. But yeah. No, it's not, yeah. You know, especially when it's the sort of their favorite music of the day. They yeah. don't want to believe that somebody else did it before.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. But yeah, it's this whole, you know, thing that we want to like relive. Back to the Future. That's another yeah. series that was that's a good escape.
People love that movie.
I love yeah. that movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love. Oh my gosh, Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
He's great. What a great character.
Yeah.
That movie is so interesting from a Freudian perspective. Needless to say.
Oh, I mean, wow, that's right.
Blatantly, but, you know, really interesting.
Oh, jeez. Hey, Mom.
Yes, Calvin. Yeah.
The dream come true, and then the horror of actually achieving.
That was funny. 866-999-4626 is our number. What's your go-to movie for escapism? 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about escaping reality through movies this hour with film critic Tim Miller, psychiatrist Mark Whaley, and social worker Jenny Putnam. Love to hear what your go-to movie is. 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. All right, Tim, you work with a lot of students, and you're teaching them about film, and you ask them, what's your favorite movie and yep. why? Tell us about that.
Yeah, the it's something that you had said earlier about movies reminding us of the comfort of our childhood or the good memories. A lot of times, I'll ask them, "What is your favorite movie of all time and why?" And a lot of them, it has to do with one of the 14-year-olds I'm teaching now said that it was Home Alone. Because it's something she watches every holiday season with her family. Mm-hmm. And the college students, they'll say, it reminds me of when I was a child and would watch this movie. And it's exactly what somebody was just talking yeah. about as far as that comfort of when you have good memories.
Yeah, returning to your childhood.
Family memories.
Yeah, it's true. And I love that family tradition of watching a movie at yeah. different holidays.
Yeah.
Jenny.
You know, I keep thinking about, because of course, you know, I work with people who didn't necessarily have good childhoods, but, you know, one of my dad's favorite all-time series is Harry Potter. Mm. And when I asked him why, because that certainly isn't from his childhood, he said, it's a young man who faces difficulties seemingly on his own, but there's always an adult watching over him.
Mm.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And wow, so it's an yeah. imagined ideal childhood.
Yeah.
For a
yeah.
person who didn't have, I mean, ideal. He has the face of Voldemort. But, but yeah. he has these close friends who always have his back.
Yeah.
And these parental figures who are watching over him. So
yeah.
they're sort of invisible, but always there.
Yeah,
that's one thing I love about fantastical movies is you have no idea what's going to happen or what kind of creature is going to come about, or you know, you really are escaping reality with the fantastical yeah. movies, right? Yeah,
yeah.
Ted is giving us a call from Wellfleet. Hi, Ted.
Hi. Good morning.
What's your go-to?
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh wow!
I just have to sit and laugh at the two guys trying to do one another in, and neither one of them is very smart.
Yeah.
And the best scene is where I can't remember who the main people are in the.
Michael Caine and Steve Martin.
Right. Where Steve Martin is in a wheelchair, preventing
right.
acting as if he is incapacitated. Both are in search of a woman who they're trying to impress.
Yeah. And swindle.
Anyhow,
and swindle, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're both very devious characters, and they both do each other in.
Yeah. So All three are devious, right?
Yeah.
That's a remake of a movie called Bedtime Story with Marlon Brando and David Niven.
Oh.
Brando was in the Steve Martin. Brando was in the Steve Martin, and David Niven was in the Michael Caine role.
Oh, we'll have to check that out. All
right. My favorite.
Go ahead, Ted.
My favorite incident in that is where Steve Martin is in a wheelchair pretending to be an invalid.
Yeah.
And he said, what's the other guy? He says, let's see, I'll show you that he's really not an invalid. So he starts whacking him with a, he doesn't even cry. Steve Martin is there with his eyes watering.
Right.
Slapstick. All right, Ted, thank you for that. Thanks. We appreciate that one. Joanne in Orleans says, for sheer fun, Mamma Mia. For love of music, Begin Again, Keira Knightley and Mark Ruffalo on a creative journey. Terrific. All right, Joanne, thank you for those. We're getting all kinds of good suggestions.
Brando reminds me, and musicals reminds me, of course, of Guys and Dolls, which I also loved as a child and watched over and over again.
Mm.
Jen says, thanks for your laughter this morning. Best escape ever. It's fun when we can laugh a little bit, right? About things.
Yeah.
All right. So screwball comedies are another category that a lot of folks are drawn to. And Tim, that's something that if I remember correctly, when we did favorite movies of all time, I think Young Frankenstein was one of your favorites too, Jenny, right? And that's one of your favorites, Tim.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I think it's great. And you mentioned the Universal horror films. It's such a great spoof of those. And I think they even used the original set from Frankenstein. Somehow they were able to get that to use. But I think it's so funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about documentaries? Does anybody turn to documentaries for escape?
You know, I mentioned this and I can't bring any to mind. Oh, I know the Cold War documentaries that are on, I think, Netflix right now. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's nice to watch those sorts of things just to see that we've lived through other very trying times and come out on the other side. Same sort of idea as the horror movie, I mean, the disaster movies where it's about survival. I think sometimes documentaries can be reassuring.
I've watched two recently. One was on Martha Stewart, because that's another escape. My grandson and I, we go and watch the old Living Martha Stewart TV show. Always. You can visit any holiday you want. And the other one was I watched the new documentary on Barbara Walters, which was really interesting.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Yeah. So I guess it can depend. You don't want to, I guess, maybe watch a depressing topic, but documentaries can also be.
But that does make sense, I think. I've been talking to a friend who's in pretty bad health, but he's devoted his life to good work, and he's talking about the current state of affairs, and he's very depressed right now. But I've said, well, you know, but the thing is, you know, we have lived through, you know, the Cold War. I mean, we thought, you know, in the early 60s, we thought we were on the verge of annihilation.
Right.
And it is nothing new, unfortunately, that there is all this stress. But we have survived a lot of stuff, like
the McCarthy era.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The other thing presently is the lack of morality that we see.
Yeah.
The lack of just that morality and using laws, for instance, to guide our behaviors and respecting them. It's as if everything that this country was founded on, it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
Do what you want and fire whoever you want, or stop parts of the government so that rich people can pay less taxes. you know, it's totally morality is totally upside down.
Yeah. Which may, I think, does make we're in a tricky place, I think, because of that, where it's hard to find relief, and as much as any time, I think people need it. I mean, you talk to so many people who, like, oh, I you know, I can't sleep, or my spouse can't sleep because they're worrying about the state of the country and that, you know, I mean, that's why one reason why I really love movies is the potential to encourage community and to encourage good values and to remind people that to fight the good fight and you know, enlighten people. It might be
enlighten and inspire.
Yeah.
Our humanity is based on stories, really. You know, from the beginning, since speech, I guess, came out, storytelling is the way we all are educated, it's how we frame our lives, according to all the stories we've been exposed to.
Yeah.
Ta-Nehisi Coates has a really his newest book is about how narrative creates everything. Interesting. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'll tell you, Christine sends a note. She says, Crazy Rich Asians is my go-to airplane movie. I can watch The Holiday on repeat. Rom-coms are great for that. And when I'm traveling with my daughter, the first thing we do in the hotel room is see where we are on the week, seemingly cable Harry Potter marathon.
Harry Potter is Jaylen Brown. As you all know, I love the Celtics. Jaylen Brown's go-to movies.
Oh, wow.
Oh, is that right?
Or Harry Potter. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think, you know, we watched the first Harry Potter with my grandson. The second one was a little too scary. He does not like scary movies. And we tried to watch Jurassic Park, the first, you know, dinosaur. It's like, turn it off. All right. Brooks is giving us a call from Orleans. Hi, Brooks.
Hi. How are you today?
Good. What's your go-to?
Good. Well, I was listening to your conversation just before you started talking about documentaries, and I highly recommend, I don't know if you discussed Superman, about Christopher Reeve's life. It was probably one of the most inspiring documentaries and uplifting that I've ever seen. It really addresses the legacy that he left of his family in terms of helping people with spinal cord injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just stuck on Route 6. I was like, I'm going to call in. I've never called in on any radio show. So I just thought I would offer that. I'm a big documentary buff, but it's definitely it's at the top of my list.
Yeah. So. Brooks, thank you. That's a good one. Yeah. Christopher Reeve, what an inspiration he was. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that. So although we go to these movies for escape, it is a temporary relief, right? But like a good book, you often walk away from a movie really either, you know, with that big smile on your face from some funny things that you're reliving in your mind, or, you know, a mood it puts you in, some thought, you know, process it has you thinking about, some, you know, incident. But there's also this emotional connection we get with movies. I also think sometimes even with the fantasy movies, there's some inspiration there, you know, that you can, your mind kind of travels and you think, I should be writing this down, right? So escapism, it really isn't just mindless entertainment. I know people would say mindless entertainment, but it's not really that. I'm seeing head shaking. Thoughts, Tim?
Some of it is, but most of it isn't.
Most of it isn't.
I would say the Three Stooges, pretty mindless.
but you know, even like movies like, say, the Hangover movies, it is about camaraderie too. Yeah. I mean, you know, or Animal House. It's like, you know, it's about rebellion and camaraderie. I think you're right that there's, you know, I showed those again to the 14-year-olds. I showed The Sandlot, and a baseball movie about kids in 1962 who play baseball and that. And it's a goofy movie, but it's about, you know, a sort of community, One of the, you know, I love baseball, but it's like, you know, how baseball can bring people together. But also just like there's this one kid that's like the best baseball player of all the kids. But it's, but what makes him so special isn't that, it's that he's this, he's kind to kind of the geeky kid. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's honorable. And it was a good movie to show 14-year-olds. You know, that, you know, I mean, there's stuff like that. That's, again, that's why I love movies, is that they can be good for the soul.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's good for our nervous system. So it's good for our soul.
Yeah.
And when we seek out some peace and getting into a narrative can provide that.
Yeah.
I would also say it gives us perspective into the lives of other people. And
yes.
So it's always nice to see from through different eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things we mentioned, this is a sort of a temporary relief, this sort of mental respite, but it's stress relief, right? And we all know what stress can do.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And don't forget, stress is certainly something scary happens at once. That's an acute event. But we're under chronic stress in terms of no real let up in day to day. That's what does damage to our health. And our immune system, we age quicker, we fail quicker, it really is not just something that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And we're not seeking fun, for fun's sake. We're just kind of hardwired to have some peace and some calmness that we can feel safe with. That's life. That's human life.
Yeah. And I will tell you, it's always like comedies that I'm going to turn to right now. You know, I'm waiting for that episode, the fourth episode of the Guardians of the Galaxy. They have to make more for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then of course, going back to some of those classics that we say the musicals of the 30s and 40s and even 50s. I mean musicals today are fun, but I don't know. I don't think they have the same charm that the older musicals.
Well, there doesn't seem to be the same kind of innocence.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it might be so.
Greece. Oh, I forgot about Greece.
Oh,
speaking
yeah.
of That was a later musical that I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved Grease. I watched it a million times.
Yeah. West Side Story. I mean, so we could probably go on and on.
Yeah.
We are going to go out with a little Singing in the Rain this morning, just to kind of, remind us of, happy Gene Kelly, the most fabulous dancer in the world. Film critic
so
Tim
wrong.
Miller,
so wrong.
Psychiatrist Mark Whaley and social worker Jenny Putnam. As always, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.